about, you know, philosophy of halacha. And one of the points I was trying to make was that, you know, every topic is a window into the philosophy of halacha. Not every topic, many topics, most topics, if done, I think, properly. You know, whether it's, you know, the nature of shechita and the relationship between kachim and chulin, or the idea of tahara. But now we're really in the area of Geirus, and it's Knesset Yisrael, and Yetziyah Yisrael, the Kuti topics. By the way, it really, as I said, began with the Eruv Rav in a certain sense, too. Right? The Eruv Rav were also a population that, you know, were very problematic, and again, it's just hard to pin down what exactly, you know, what exactly they were, and what exactly, you know, how, you know, they ended up. But I guess they were kind of the Kutiyim and the Givonim, you know, before the Kutiyim and the Givonim were. But anyways, and now we're discussing, again, Mumrim and Mishabadim and a range of them. And, of course, it's important to know just, you know, what their halachic status is, because it affects all sorts of dinim. But our bigger, I guess, interconnected questions also just looking at how we look at Ones and Avera and Rishas Agavra and the interconnection between, you know, different mitzvos, linchpin mitzvos, and so on and so forth. And this is really an important venue, framework, right, to discuss these issues. But in order to do so, we really have to, you know, sort out the details and then try to isolate the different factors, and then to see what emerges, you know, as really being machria, you know, in the different areas of halakha. That's kind of what we're doing in a nutshell. Okay, so in the context of doing that, the last things that we were discussing, we're discussing Mumla Te'avon, and we've seen basically a range of views on that. But again, it's as we branch out to discuss Mumla Hachis, and, you know, Mumla Barazara, and Mumla Chalas HaShabbos, and Mumla Chola Torah Kula, if that's a separate category. obviously, the interrelationship between the various categories becomes very important as well, and that's why it's a complicated topic that needs, you know, to be, each topic needs to be isolated, and then we need to look at them, you know, together. That's often the case. So, with regard to Mumla Te'avon, we discussed already the implications of the Shakavataria of the Gemaras here in Chulin, for sure. Mumla Davar Echad, the Havamin of Mumla Davar Echad, Mumla Chol Tor Kula, if that's talking about Lutayavon. Of course, the question of Shechita, which we'll get back to. And then, of course, we discussed the Gemara in Horios and Avodah Zarah, where you have in Horios, where you have the discussion of Mumla Te'avon possibly being mufka from bringing a korban, certainly Mumla Osa Davar, and both in Chulin and Horias the question of Mumar Lechelev about Mumar Ladam, and in addition, the Sugyan of Avodah Zarah, the possibility of the Havamin of Moridin, and the need for Exeris HaKosov to teach you that Mumla Te'avon is Bechlal Hashem Saveda, and then we also discussed what the Gemara means in Gittin, the other Gemara in Gittin about, you know, Pidyon Shvuyim, the distinction between Mumla Hachas and Mumla Te'avon there, but again, whether it's a Chiyuv Pidyon or a Heter Pidyon, especially for the Rambam. So all these Gemaras, in a nutshell, if you analyze Chulin Horios of Avodah Zarah, some of the Gemaras in Gittin and elsewhere, it's clear that whether it's in the Havaminas or in the Machloksin, etc., that there is this massive debate going on, you know, and that is, you know, how much Te'avon and how much, you know, Mumar, essentially. And again, that is hashkafically, in addition to halachically, like a very crucial issue. Like, how do we, you know, what role does Maisa Vera play? What role does, you know, cause or motivation, intention, you know, self-restraint, you know, how do we really look at those various categories? So in you know, the bigger picture, in terms of Rishonim, we have these discussions in the Gemara and how the Rishonim understand these Gemaras and how they paskin. So what we're up to is we've definitely extensively analyzed some of the Rambams, not all of them yet. I want to wait to put some of the other ones together. But the Rambam Hilchos Shechita, Ma'isa Karbanos, Shkagos, definitely Matnos Aniyim, I thought double Lishitaso there, Rotzeach in the language, Gzela, Tfilin, possibly even. All of these definitely point in the Rambams to the Rambam having, you know, an integrated, mostly consistent, you know, view that Mamilat Yavon is really a Rasha, and that all things being equal, he belongs in the same category, you know, just as Meshumad or Mumar, Meshumad, Lahakis and Latayavon. There are distinctions, of course, but that default, you know, it starts off that way. And that, I think, is what we saw substantively in the Rambam, as well as, you know, when he has a choice, how to paskin, even in some cases where there are no makoros, some of the psakim, and in addition, in terms of formulation, like just the way that he speaks about these issues. I think Rambam emerges with a certain clarity. If you look at all the Rambams together, they reinforce each other. Tosfos in Avodah Zarah and Tosfos in Chulin, the picture is a little bit more clouded. It sounds, if I'm right in Tosfos in Chulin, at least, certainly we know that Rashi holds this way. And that is that the Hava Mina Mumel Davracha Mumel Lekol Torah Kula, or the rejection of that, refers only to Mumel Hakas. We'll get back to this, and not to Mumel Teyavon, even though linguistically, that's a little bit of a challenging way to read the Gemara, because the end of the Gemara, certainly, we're talking about Mumel Teyavon. On the contrary, if you think that the beginning of the Gemara, or what the Gemara was saying, you know, with the might of in the Gemara, in other words, is only Mumel Hakas, it's probably because, or it probably indicates, a discomfort with saying Mumar Lavrachad Haba Mumar Lakal Tarakula in Latayam, which is a discomfort which is understandable even if you take a more hardline view in Mumar Latayavon, but it is geometrically more compelling if you take a softer view of Mumar Latayavon. As you've seen, Mumar Latayavon is, you know, a pretty good Jew, you know, who's got really serious, you know, self-discipline flaws, then of course he's not a Mumar Lakal Tarakula. There's no Hava Mina, you don't need to preclude that, you don't need to say it. If we're talking about, I'm not talking about at the moment whether Mumar Latayavon L'davar Echad is a Mumar Latayavon Lakal Tarakula. I'm talking about whether Mumar Latayavon isn't a Mumar Gamor Lakal Tarakula. So again, the fact that I think the Tosas here in Chulin sounds like Rashi, it's not as Mokrak, unlike the Kesef Mishnah's reading of the Rambam and some of the other Rishonim. Certainly the Rajba, I think, also understands that Gemara might be Lahakis. I'll get to it. Well, we'll leave Rajba out for the moment. You know, that may point a little bit in a certain direction. On the other hand, Tosfos and Avodah Zarah, which we talked about the other day, where Tosfos, you know, continues to try, you know, to defend, right, the idea of Moridin in Mumar Latayavon, and to narrow the significance of the Chiyuv HaShavas Aveda, you know, to turn that into a next generation thing. And again, I don't think he means in a pragmatic way only. I think he means, again, another fundamental question as which we raised, which is, you know, you look at a person Basher Rusham, you look at a person even, you know, in the totality of his life, as opposed to his future, his present and his future. And then the question really is, even beyond that, what about his descendants? When do you do that in different halachic, you know, contexts? But at the end of the day, what I'm trying to say is that the tone of Tosfos and Avodah Zarah basically is that even with regard to Aveda, and, you know, again, especially with the possibility of, it's not like Tosfos is scandalized, you know, by the Havamin of Moridin. You know, they're actually working hard to see, well, how do you know that it isn't? And not because they have an agenda, but just because they're open-minded about that. And that can only be if you have a certain view that Mumar Latayavon is a Rasha. And then the continuation, he rejects it, but how much of a Gilui Milsa is that this is all wrong, and then the discussion of Pidgin Aben, I'm sorry, Pidgin Shvuyim, which we then, you know, connected to the Rambam, and so on and so forth. There's another Tosus there in Avodah Zarah, which is quite remarkable. I kind of instinctively knew that I missed one that I wanted to talk about. Then we'll talk more about the rest of Tosus in Avodah Zarah. But the little one is the one I knew I didn't want to talk about V'chadom Elahachis, but I kind of felt I was missing something. Sami Mikan Mumar, that Tosus in Avodah Zarah, also very remarkable. If we read a Kipshuta, the simple pshat is that the Gemara, when it says Sami Mikan Mumar, is talking about Mumla Tayavo, and that becomes even clearer in the continuation of the Gemara, when the Gemara says V'lishni Lekan B'Mumar Ochon Levelus Tayavon Kan B'Mumar Ochon Levelus Lahakis, right? And then the Gemara says Kasavro Ochon Levelus Lahakis is a meme. So kind of that's all that's left, unless you think that that line the Gemara didn't know all of this. Sounds like it's either both or only Mumla Tayavo. Which is why, again, there was this Havamina of Moridin, and that's what Tosus themselves were, you know, trying to, you know, maintain. So it's also fascinating that when the Gemara's answer is Sami Mikan Mumar, that again, it's not like Tosus embraces that. Tosus says, Nira, the Dafka, again, maybe we'll have a chance to just sum up some of the other views in Avodah Zarah and Horios when we complete this, but Nira, the Dafka, the Gabe Horod, the Labor, Misame or Yochanan Mumar Milamasne Bahade Minim. Avaladvar Machirim, Matsina Bakamakomos, Shona Minim Mumrim Yachad. The Parakamad Rosh Hashanah, right? Haminim, Hamumrim, Hamasoros, Yordim Legehenim. Okay, not a small thing. Parakasholeach, Sefer Torah Shakasul Minim Mumrimasor, which again is related to our Rambam discussion, that the Rambam is still maybe talking. Not like some of the Mepharshim, but like some of the others, even about a Mumar L'Tayavon. So it's fascinating that Tosus, you know, doesn't, even after establishing, you know, that we're not going to, you know, retain, you know, Moridin, Tosus is still telling you, but the idea that Mumar L'Tayavon is sometimes grouped with Minim and others, you know, that is still on the books, just not here. And that, again, you wouldn't be so quick to say that or so comfortable with it if you were taking the view that Mumar L'Tayavon, you know, was kind of a victim of his own, you know, lack of self-discipline, but he's really pretty much a good guy. And I think I mentioned that the Meiri has this whole discussion that maybe no Moridin, but, you know, maybe no Malin either. Also shocking, right? Again, the Rambam in the end says, when you chayev latzilo and b'nuchos rotzeach, chayev latzilo, you know, etc. But you know, the Meiri isn't so sure about it. So the point is that there are deo, even in Tosus himself, certainly Tosus in Avodah Zarah, comes off in a certain way. Tosa Rush in Horios has an interesting line. It talks about Mumar Liay Nesach. So Tosus Harash there says, well, isn't the Mumar, what if the Mumar Liay Nesach is L'Tayavon? Right? So again, I understand where that comes from. We have to talk more about that when it comes to Mumar Avodah Zarah, Mumar L'Kalas HaShabbos, etc. That's an interesting question. But one way to solve that problem, assuming that it doesn't make a difference, but we'll get into the details of it, is to say, yeah, because those categories, what's important is simply the Ma'aseh Aveira or the Chumras HaAveira, you know, itself. Or maybe the Begida, the Rishus HaGavra. We'll talk about these categories in just a minute. And therefore, the Teyavon, Lahachis, you know, that's kind of beside the point. But the way the Tosa Rosh says it is, in a slightly different way, is more like, well, Mumar le Teyavon and a Davar Chamor, right, that's also still a Mumar. So again, maybe he means what I just said. But it sounds a little bit like what he is also saying, or what he's kind of opening the door to, is that, you know, even Betoras, in other words, let me make clear, what I'm trying to suggest is the categories of the Teyavo and Lahachis, they become irrelevant you know, when you're dealing with certain kind of averos. Because it's the objective maisa avera or the chomer avera, or you know, what that, you know, what being that kind of a bogey, you know, reflects, that's important. So I wouldn't formulate that, oh, you know, this te'avon, you know, constitutes a kind of lahachis because the stakes are so high. Maybe that's what we mean, but I think it's a clumsy way to formulate it. I would mostly say that the, you know, the motivation, you know, when it comes to these areas is kind of irrelevant. But what the Tosa Rosh, I think, is saying, unless it's just not a careful formulation, and this is what he means, is that, you know, Mumala Te'avon, typically, you know, we perceive it, you know, as a flaw. I'm elaborating, obviously, exaggerating a little bit. We see a flaw in his self-restraint. But he's a good guy. You know, but a Mumala Te'avon in a Davar HaChamor, right, his inability to restrain himself there, that's a Mumala Te'avon, you know, who's a Mumar. In other words, it's kind of the line between, although the application certainly is more extreme, the line between the two ways that we're looking at Mumala Te'avon, right, is applied, right, depending also on, now there's another factor here. Instead of saying it's all about, you know, his lack of restraint, or instead of saying his lack of restraint is kind of mostly beside the point, even though he's not lahachis, because it's really about his, you know, lack of commitment. So what we're saying is, depending on, like, the chomer ha'iser, the ha'avera, maybe substantively or maybe, you know, symbolically and psychologically, you know, that's going to determine whether we view this only as a flaw, you know, in discipline, you know, or as a fundamental core, right, deficiency, you know, in commitment. Okay, but that kind of opens the door again, or kind of reinforces, you know, the idea that, well, you could say that about all Mumala Te'avon, once you're suggesting that we're mechalek between different averos. That's a little different than saying what I said before. Yeah.
I was wondering if this might open the door to another possibility of viewing an Oveya Avodah Zarah and a Mechal Shabbos Parhesia as governed by other rules of Mumar, meaning it's the Chomer HaIsser per se rather than their status in Gavra Rasha.
That's kind of what I'm talking about.
Right.
And we're going to talk about that when we get to that. And maybe whether or not, in the three other areas, we've already alluded to a little bit. And we're trying not to spend too much time because we do want to move past this. But Mumar L'chol Torah Kula, if there is such a category separate from Mumar L'Avodah Zarah and Mumar L'chol L'Asa Shabbos B'Parhesia, we have to evaluate them in the same kind of way. In other words, one way to say is that the Chomer Ha'isor, the Ma'isa Avera, per se, you know, is the Mechayev. There. And that qualitatively, probably, I'll get, I'm sorry to make things complex, probably, or at least on the surface, at first glance, right, distinguishes it even from Mumar L'Hachis. As opposed to saying, I think that, I'll just say generally, I think that there are, because we've been playing with this, or been working with it, I think that there are mostly like three, you know, ways, you know, to look at all these issues, just that some of the applications are more conducive, you know, to all of them as opposed to just to some of them. One is in terms of the Ma'isa Avera, the Chomer Ha'isur. Again, Mashal L'Mad Dover Doma, that's a perspective in Yehareg V'Yavar too, which we'll talk a little more about. Right, that's the famous line of the Ramban, but it's implicit in others as well. But the Ramban explains that the Gimel Averos of Yehori Gval Yabor, meaning Shpichas Damim, Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayos, that the reason that they apply even, you know, Betzina, Lahalacha, not only the Farhesia, is because the mechayiv is the chomer hadavar atzma. That's the language of the Ramban in the Mechamos in Sanhedrin Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, the main sugya. There's no heter pikuach nefesh, right? And it's not just a din of chilul Hashem; it's the chomer hadavar itself. And not all Rishonim agree. Okay. So what I mean by that, something like that here too, what we're saying is, maybe there are certain averos, which are so called more, they're so cardinal, you know, principles of our commitment as B'nai Torah, that just, you know, the Ma'is Avera, the Chomer Ha'isur itself, is so weighty that that's Koveya. You know, that's Kigoy. Or that, you know, loses you your Kedushas Yisrael, the Mikta, or whatever it is. Or disqualifies you. And as far as that is concerned, then it doesn't matter. For sure it doesn't matter whether it's Teyavon or Lahachis or, you know, maybe even that's the Chiddush of the Ramban. It doesn't even matter, you know, if it's really Ba'anus, you know, or Bepikuach Nefesh. Right? And that point is still, I guess, maybe Onus isn't a Ma'is Aveira, right? But that's one perspective. The second perspective is the perspective of Rishus Hagav. And that is, there are certain things that you do, even if from a Ma'is, again, you know, obviously these categories, you know, can, although they don't have to, overlap, but even if they do overlap, you know, there still might be, it's still worth investigating, you know, which component, you know, is responsible. But obviously, there should be a correlation. One would think that there would be a correlation between chumra sa'avera or chumra sa'isur, you know, and the implications that has to the religious personality, meaning rishus hagavra, and whether you're a gavra mishuma, bogeid, mumar, whatever you want to call, rasha, you know, etc. Obviously, that it makes sense that the more, you know, you're involved in a intrinsically, you know, dastardly, you know, a deed from a religious point of view, that also characterizes you begabra. But maybe there are distinctions, and maybe even if they come together, right, they have, they impact things in a different way. So the other way to look at this is not in terms of the Ma'is Aveira, but in terms of, you know, the Rishus Hagavra. And, you know, again, calling him a Meshumma, not the Ma'isa, but a Meshumma, a Mumar, a Bogate, not maybe that his action is an action of Avodah Zarah, but he's like a Gavra, a Varyan, who was over at Avodah Zarah, in the sense that, you know, he, you know, is completely rebellious in that respect. That's a second perspective. And then, you know, the Avera, you know, is kind of the means to an end. It isn't the Avera per se, it's what the Avera implies or establishes or defines or identifies him as a Gavra. And then the third way is perhaps the idea of focusing on, you know, his relationship across the board to Taryag Mitzvos. Right? Not that he's not Gavra Russia alone, you know, not the Ma'isa Aveira or the Chomer Isar alone either, but what are the implications of what he's doing, you know, in terms of how he perceives and how he kind of projects the relationship of Taryag Mitzvot. So that's something, these are three areas. When it comes to Mubila Teyavon, again, it's very hard to say, you know, it's easy to say that he's a Gavra Russia, although you could deny that too. To say that, you know, but to say that on the same level of L'Hachis or Mumin L'Avodah Zarah, Mumin L'Chamelus HaShabbos, when there are theological, you know, aspects, you know, as well, very hard to say that. But he could still be a Gavra Russia. He might even still lose some elements of his Kedushas Yisrael because of it, but you just, you know, you wouldn't compare that. So I think that's what you're suggesting?
Yeah, I think that the Mishnah Melech briefly entertains the possibility that, unlike a Mumar who requires the Hurgal the Dabar, someone who's Obey Avodah Zarah,
yeah, so I was going to have you look at that anyway. Yeah, so look at that. That's the issue Yeah, look at that. Make sure by next time we see that anyway, which is Tosus on Yudalid Amud Aleph, the first Tosus on the page, Dir Masa Shoke, okay? And the Hagosa Shri, also on Yudalid Amud Aleph. What is it? I think I wrote it down somewhere. Aleph Yudches in the Rush. And the Mordechai also on that Sugya. There's a huge discussion about Chilul Shabbos and about Avodah Zarah, you know, whether or not you need to be a repeat offender, and how much, and whether or not it needs to be farhesia, and as I say, this question too, whether it matters, whether it's l'tayavon or not. So again, it's a little tricky, you know, just like I said about the Tosa Rush in Horios, because it's hard to know whether, you know, these are kind of adjustment. Oh, the more chamor it is, maybe the less, you know, rugil you need to be, you know, or the less forceful you need to be, because it's already kind of an intrinsic violation or an act of begida, you know, in its own right, you know, or as opposed to saying, well, the fact that some things need piersim and some things need hergel, you know, etc., and in some things we care about motivation and other cases that we don't, that shows you that the mechayvim are totally different. That's a tricky question, but that's 100%. That's part of what the Mishnah Melech you're talking about. It's talking about this issue, which has its very strong roots in the Rishonim, which we will talk about. We still have to talk about that even in terms of Mumel HaTeyavon and Mumel HaHakas, how much, you know, repeat offender. We talked about it a little bit in terms of the Rambam. Right, the Rambam does distinguish, as we know, between Mumel HaTeyavon and, you know, LaHakas, even though he says neither, which is part of the point. But pasul leedus, you know, again, halacha yudalid and halacha, you know, tesvah. So all the mefarshim, the Radvaz, the Kesef Mishnah, Magid Mishnah, Lech, they're all saying, what's the difference? I mean, the Rambam is the one who brought pasul leedus into Hilchas Shechita to begin with, right? And again, I think it's l'shitasa, absolutely. Because it's relevant for him, even though the distinction is also relevant for him. By the way, Agav, I should just mention that the Kesef Mishnah, the Beis Yosef on the tour, suggests, and this is how he paskins, that an adjustment on the Rama. The Rama says that a posel le'edus, you know, is kosher l'shchita, right? And he doesn't require b'tikas sakit. Because even though he's a shame Russia, right, there's no real chashash, and he's not a gavra Russia legabe shchita, right? Because, and again, all the mefarshim are saying what the Ram doesn't say explicitly, but which is pretty clear, and that is that, you know, hergel, you know, shana v'chata is important for this, you know, both for, you know, chashash, but even more so for, especially for the Rambam, for being a gavr mumr legabezeh. Anyway, the Beis Yosef says, however, I would like to make an adjustment on this, and that is to distinguish between Russia avaryan pasul edus la'osa davar, right, and the davar echad. Meaning, you can see where this comes from. Does Lemaisa, what he's saying is, if you are an ochel velos, right, pamachas, which puts you in halacha tezvav, and not in halacha yudalid, so it sounds like the Rambam holds that you are kosher l'shchita even without b'dika sakit. And Rabbi Yosef Karo says, I don't think that's true. I don't think, you know, that a person who's chayv malchus and is possible edus in general, you know, requires b'dikas sakin, and the Rambam makes that clear. Even though, again, the Rambam in Halacha Yudalid, that's the whole point, is that he, you know, that's his focus. Mumar l'davar echad, you know, being a mumar l'kol tarakula l'gabe, you know, this particular halacha. So you might say, well, the Rambam in general doesn't have the distinction at all, right? Unless you think that, you know, like the second day in the Magad Mishnah, you know, that actually he's even more machmir in the case of mumar l'davar echad. But either way, halacha tesvav only tells us, you know, what it tells us. It doesn't say anything about b'tikas sak. But Rabbi Yosef Karo is suggesting that there's still a din of rasha l'davar echad, you know, of rasha l'osa davar. Rama might have said, there's no din of rasha l'osa davar. That's a din in the gabra, and that requires hergel. Okay. As opposed to a psul maisaveira, or shame rasha, but not a shame mumar. Maybe only a mumar requires. But that's an interesting point. Agav, I should mention, from a history of halacha point of view, this is a great topic to illustrate the impact of, number one, you know, of the, you know, the Rambam on, the Rambam and Rambam Parshanut on the halacha. Like, if you look at the Kesef Mishnah here, and then you look at what Rabbi Yosef Karo did in the Beit Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch. And again, it's just one of a million other examples, but it's a good one. You see how much of his analysis of the Rambam ended up affecting, you know, his view of the halacha. And exactly in the same vein, if you want to see the impact of the Rajba, especially the Rajba and Torah Sabayis, of course also in Skidushim, and certainly also the huge impact of his Tshuvas generally, but of Torah Sabayis in particular is a work that he wrote on Isser V'Heter. If you want to see the huge impact that it has on Yoredeya, you can see it in any topic. But this is a good one as any. We're now going to get back to that discussion. The cases that the Rajba, you know, brings up in Torah Sabayis all got paskined and ended up dominating a lot of the discussion in the Beis Yosef, and then later on in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so it's just, you know, just very clear, and it's very inspiring. Meaning the Rishonim and the building blocks, you know, dominate the conversation, you know, going forward, and then the extra wrinkles, you know, are part of the, you know, the extra layers. But you really see how, you know, learning the Gemara and the Rishonim is the foundation and the core for everything. Anyways, having said that, so that's the Rambam, and that's the Beis Yosef's addition to the Rambam, which I'm not sure the Rambam would have agreed to, but I'm not sure 100% that he wouldn't. Maybe it depends on those 2 days in the Magid Mishnah. I'm not sure. I suspect that he would have disagreed. It's my instinct. But either way, it's an interesting sheet and an interesting place to draw the line. So the last thing that we did the other day was we were discussing that the Mumar L'Tayavon assessment also impacts the debate between the Rajba and the Ra. And in larger terms, if you're looking for patterns, which we are, both in terms of the Shitas themselves and in terms of the language, you know, roughly the way it comes out is that the Rajba, you know, is more makel and sees Mumar L'Tayavon as basically, you know, a Yisrael Kosher, you know, who has some problems and is inclined, therefore, to give him the benefit of the doubt in terms of L'Shava Katera, the Achali Sura, as opposed to Mitrach Tarach, how he defines one or the other, how he looks at Chemsa and Shal Akum, or Chemsa and Shal Yisrael and Machlev, and how he applies it to comparable cases, whereas the Ra'ah, and therefore the Rajba, is also inclined to apply regular chazakos that apply to members of Klal Yisrael, Ksherim, to Mumar L'Tayavon, unless they specifically don't make sense. Right? Things like Roman Sunez or Shemitah Mumkenhein, but also the kashrus, the assumption of a kashrus, of the shkita of the simanim, of the sakin, etc., etc. He's even willing to combine, right, the nemanus of the Mumar L'Tayavon, right, with these chazakos where you need them. And he's a little bit, we'll see in a moment, the language in the Chidusha Rajba, he's a little bit more reticent about these things, even though he doesn't retract any of it. But I guess, you know, he's a little more spooked by the Ra'ah's critique or something. But at the end of the day, you know, he does, as long as you don't have to rely completely on the credibility of the Mogel Teyavon, right, his affirmation, we'll call it, is sufficient to reinforce the Chazakos, right, and to be matir. That seems to be the view of the Rashba. And the overall impression of that is that Mumla Tayavon is a Yisrael Kasher, but the fact that the Rashba doesn't understand the Rambam's Mumla Tayavon Ladavar Echad, right, have a Mumla Tayavon, you know, we'll call it Torah Kula in terms of the need for B'dika Sakin, in the Rush and the Ran criticize the Rambam. The Rush, at least, you know, makes an effort. And the Rajba, both in the Chidushim and in Torah Sabayis, just basically says, I don't get it, and that's the end. Now, it could be he just didn't get it. Or it could be he didn't want to give any quarter, you know, to... And he certainly wasn't acknowledging that the Rambam had a different view. That's also Madrega. It could be a Madrega sometimes in argumentation, but in this case, seems more than that. Ad kedei kach, that he was even trying to reread the Rambam on the requirement of Mumcha. Right, that's how certain the Rashba was, or is, about these particular issues. And that is to be sharply contrasted with the Ra'ah, who both linguistically and substantively, right, rejects all of this. The Ra'ah's, you know, mantra, if you will, mantra probably too strong, is that, but his klal, Nikotai Klala Biyadecha, as we discussed, is that, you know, whenever, you know, a chazaka is insufficient, right, and you need, you know, the support of the shochet, then Mumla Tayavon, you know, is a Rasha, and he's Pasul Yedus. There's no Eidecha Nemen B'Yisurim, and we rely on, you know, the chazaka, let's say, of Lashava Kater of Yachal Yisura in being Machliv Chametz, because he thinks that that is a very strong Mokzakos. But the whole, I guess, if you had to, in the scale or in the range, you know, between, you know, a Mitrach Tarach, Mitrach Lotarach, and Lashava Kater of Yachal Yisura, you know, the Ra'ah is firmly on the Mitrach Lotarach part, you know, and limits the Lo Shavak Yisur. Now, that could have been a behavioral argument or a threshold about behavioral argument, but when you combine it with the language and the mantra, clearly the Ra'ah is saying, he's a Gabar Rasha default, but, and therefore none of this is acceptable. And these are concrete arguments, you know, what about, you know, when you have two Sakinim in the house, you know, and what about, you know, the reliance of, like, you know, he has kosher food and non-kosher food in his house, you know, and so on and so forth. The issues, we don't need to go over all of them, but the issues that we discussed. So these are, I think, the Rashba and the Ra'ah. We'll see what impact that has on their Mumer L'Hachis in an interesting way in a minute. But, we'll see a little bit later when we talk about Milahakis, hopefully today we'll get to it, that the Rashba even invokes the status of Mumer L'Tayavon to justify a more makel approach to Mumer L'Hachis. Can I explain what I mean by that? Whereas the Ra'ah does the opposite. And I think either of them, even according to the way we're explaining them, didn't have to do that, but that's interesting. Meaning, the Ra'ah is more machmir and mumer l'hachis than the Rashba is. And I think that it didn't have to be this way, but there is a connection between their views of mumer l'tayavon and their views of mumer l'hachis. Okay, so just regarding the Rashba and the Chidushim, just to make it perfectly clear what I mean, that here he, you know, discusses these exact same issues, but he is a little more reticent. But even then, in the end of the day, he still comes out being Mekel in an interesting way. So these are the lines here Again, the whole Rashba, the whole sugya I told you to look at, is very, very important. Rashba here on Dalet Amud Aleph. The Yisrael ochal develos ha'teyavon bodek sakin v'nosan lo kidder rava. L'shava keter v'yachal yisura. Vein somchal al v'bdika shal ha'akar shkita shal sakin. V'lo v'bdika simanim. Right? Can you rely on the nemanus of the mumer l'teyavon, you know, in terms of the bedika la'achar, the lechatchila bedika la'achar shkita sakin, right, and the lechatchila bedika of the simanim. So here, again, it's a little bit, you know, more reticent, maybe, as I say, he was a little spooked by the ra'ah, than what he says in Torah Sabayis. But listen, de'ihu eino ne'man be'isar shkita b'mesh etzarech edus. That sounds like the ra'ah. Except then the next lines, Ella bidalesa lesakim odelo efshar lemivdak besimanim. Then anu somchim alav sheinem akalpala shkita b'niskaven v'chazak al bendas shein kilku shkita yotze mitachas yado b'mikra elam kein niskaven b'kach o shelo shgiach v'kol bendas mashgiach b'shas shkita. So this is a classic ambivalent in-between view. Because on the one hand, he's kind of acknowledging that you can't trust him where you need edus, and therefore you shouldn't trust him lechatchila. But he's also not mufka from the category of Yisrael kasher, you know, not in terms of Roman Tzvi Netzach Shechita Mumchin, as we already discussed, right? But also not in terms of being chazaka al ben das she'en kilkul shechita yotze mitachas yado b'mikra. Elam came to Skavim. Basically what he's saying is, unless he's a mumer lahachis, right, there's a chazaka, you know, that he wouldn't allow this stuff. Oshalo ishgiach, tekol ben das, mashgiach b'sha shchita. Is that really true for somebody who's, you know, doesn't care enough to control, you know, his yetzer hara l'teyavon? That's what the ra'ah would tell you. But he's even saying, then anu somchim alav, not anu somchim legamri on the chazaka. Which is kind of what the Ra'ah is accusing him of. Okay. V'im lo shachad rov simanim, and so on. Oh. Then he says again, the continuation, V'yesh mish omar shem ba lishkot behemos harbe, bodek le Yisrael sakim bein kolachas v'yachas. This is quoting again, 2 days of the Ramban. Hachanami heichad leisa l'sakim, again, somchin alav, lo machma seduso, el domrinan uki sakim b'cheskaso. This is what he says in Torah Sabayis too. We can rely on the chazakos. Again, the assumption is that the regular chazakos that apply to an ish kasher, you know, and of course to a sakin, that they apply even to the sakin and the gavra of mumer l'teyavo. But note once again that he is addressing this question. Lo machma se do so, but the combination of somchim olav b'tziruf. Here he's calling him Meshuma. Again, his emphasis is more, you know, boy lemishkat behetera, because he's a, you know, lo shavak atera v'yachal isura, you know, person, not a, you know, lo mitrach tarach person, right? So bevadai kach nohag kederach hashochtin v'lo pirish at sheshachar ro. I mean, don't assume that he's an outlier, that he's a deviant. You know, assume that he's got this little problem, and otherwise he's in the fold. But od kasav the nira shafi the bolish kot behemos harbe shochet the chatchila bebedika rishona. Okay, which is what he says in Torah Sabbat. Then when he comes to the question of two sakinim, which again in Torah Sabbat are two, you know, pieces of meat in his house. So in Torah Sabbat he's just much more decisive about it. And here he says, the question that the Ra'ah raised, just because you know that he has, you know, a sakin kshera, you know, accessible, you know, at the end of the process, you know, how do you know, how do you close the gap and know for sure you know, that that was accessible in the beginning of the process and as accessible as a sock and trefa, etc. So again, in the tshuvas, in the Rajba and Tarsa Bayis, it's like a davar pashut because he's a good guy, you know. That's part of l'shavak hatera v'yakal yisura. But here already, he's addressing it. Ubevale mashma dimbanu, you know, b'gemara shchita. O shahoyu lifnei shtayim oshlosh behemos shchutos v'dainu shochit v'holech. Kivin shu misasek. I'm sorry, b'gemara shchita. Avalim kvar yesh shah shegamar lishchot v'anu sholem osav v'mesh shachad. Behar lanu sakina v'nimtza yafa lo nismach alav. Here at least is raising a chakira, right? Maybe if, like, what'll happen? Is there a difference between, at least he has both sakinim with him at the end of the process, or he's still involved, as opposed to you come, 2 hours after everything and you find that there are two sakinim there. Obviously that raises, you know, suspicions, or at least the window of, what was default there at the time of the beginning of the shechita. Even more so. Odilma, kima the sakin beduka yotze mitachas yado chazaka meikar nami biyado haisa ubashachat v'ulai yesh lachria keloshon zeh ha'achron. Or now it's ulai yesh lachria, but he's acknowledging the problem. Right? Miudafka b'shal shtayim shelo haya lo pnai lelechas ledarko b'limtso acher b'shuk likach. Kach adas nosenes elish yesh lachmir b'davar. This is much, much more ambivalent than Torah's Abayis. Okay. Even though he's still Mako. Okay. So anyway, I just wanted to point out that even the Rajba himself, but the contrast to the Ra'ah is still very sharp and is still very clear. Okay. Having said that, most of Rishonim, most of the poskim in Shulchan Aruch, Paskin like the Rajba, the Bach, considers Paskining, like the Ra'ah. It's also interesting, the Bach notes, not the only the Bach for this, the Mordechai here, Al-Atar, quotes the Urayim on the issue of Roma Tzvi Neitzel Shechita Mumchenheim, that the Urayim, like the Rambam and the Ra'ah, was of the opinion that you don't apply and he uses the expression that you don't apply to Reikim and Pochazim, right? And then he says gara mi Reikim upochazim. Okay, that in sharp contrast to the perspective of the Rajba, which is that basically you're dealing with an Adam Kosher who's got some halachic behavioral problems. I wouldn't say he's worse than Pochazim, and so on. So that is also something to be aware of. One thing that the Rajba does obviously hold strong to, and that's based on the Gemara, is that, if you don't have a sakin at all, not lefanav and not la'achrav, then of course you don't rely on the Mamala Te'avon. It's interesting, there's a Tshuva Sarajba, which is also quoted in the Poskim. Does it make a difference if the Mamala Te'avon would take a Shvua, Doraisa, that he was Bodek Sakin? And there the Rajba, of course, says no. But again, the very fact that he even entertains such a notion is only Lishitaso, seeing him fundamentally, as a Gabra Kosher, whereas the Ra'ah, the Rambam, they would never reach that point, frankly. Okay, so that's in terms of Mumar L'Teyavon for now, and we'll talk more later. What about Mumar L'Hachis? So what do we know about Mumar L'Hachis? What do we know about Mumar L'Hachis? Yitzhak? This background? So far we're talking about Mumar L'Teyavon. Yeah, we have these remarkable Gemara in Horios and in Avodah Zarah, right? To Deos, whether or not, were they to Deos? Whether Mumlachas is a min or Mumlachas is a mumar. Okay? So again, in assessing Mumlachas, again, it's a little bit complicated. It's a little complicated because of, you know, there are a few, you know, there's a lot of moving pieces here. Right? You can't talk about Mumlachas without discussing, you know, the possibility of its fellowship, you know, either with Mumla Teyavon or with Mumla Avodah Zarah. Right? And therefore, it's hard to know whether the debates about Mumla Hakes are really, really revolve around it, or maybe they revolve around those other categories. Just in terms of what we've been discussing, you know, if you think that Mumla Teyavon, you know, is like the Rajba, let's say, then it's harder to see Mumla Hakes, you know, as a fellow, you know, with Mumla Teyavon. You know, but if you hold like the Rambam or the Ra'ah or some of the formulations of Bali Tosis, right, then, you know, Mumla Teyavon is a serious category of Russia too. So then, in, you know, including Lahachis and Latayavon becomes more palatable, but still not Mukhrach, because everybody will agree that Lahachis is more than Latayavon, right? And maybe, and then the question is, you know, just quantitatively, but it still belongs in the same category, or that puts it in a different category, or also qualitatively, which we'll discuss in just a second. Similarly, on the other side, you know, when the possibility that a Mumla Hakas is a min, or comparable to, by that we, I guess, generally think comparable to an Ovid of Avodah Zarah, right, that cannot be discussed, you know, without understanding what we talked about before, like what is it about Avodah Zarah, right, that makes its status of Mumar different, right? So, you know, if you take a more moderate view of the Avodah Zarah, namely, maybe it isn't the Chomer HaAveira, maybe it's just the Begida part, right? So maybe Mumla Hakes, you know, does have a lot to do, you know, with Mumla Avodah Zarah. The truth is, applying the three categories that we spoke of before, let's say, to Mumla Hakes, it's obvious that, you know, in terms of, you know, what stands out in Mumla Hakas, default, what's most likely to distinguish it, is the fact that you have a Gavra Russia. Right? Now, again, even as a Gavra Russia, he may not be as much a Gavra Russia as a Mechal Shabbos Befarhesia, you know, or an Ovid Avodah Zarah, you know, because both the implications of those actions and also the, you know, fact, you know, that he was able to overcome such an Avera Chamura and nonetheless do it, may establish, you know, a higher level of Rishus, quantitatively, certainly, and maybe even qualitatively. But the idea that a Mumla Hakes is a Gavra Russia and that, you know, it kind of transcends, you know, the Avera that he did is probably the most obvious and reasonable, you know, perspective. I guess if you had to look for distinguishing elements, you would think that Mumla Teyavon is about Chashad, you know, and being, you know, one kind of a Russia, you know, a Russia based on his imperfect commitment, right? That Mumla Avodah Zarah and Chal Shabbos Farhesia may be about the Chomer Maiso Aveira, or on a Gavra level, about a person who, would say, rejects, you know, or behaves like he rejects, you know, Kedushas Yisrael, Amecha Mi and Elokayach Elokai itself. Whereas a Mumla Hakes is somebody who, you know, is a Gavra Russia. Albeit, you know, the Aveira that he did isn't as Chamor. But again, he's somebody who, you know, Shavak, you know, hatera of achal isura. He's, you know, a scoffer and a bogeid inherently. So you'd think that the most likely din begavra is a mumlahakas. Having said that, is it possible, you know, that mumlahakas, you know, also has impact in terms of the chomer ha'aveira, or in terms of, let's say, the integration of shar mitzvahs? I think the answer is yes. So just the mashal ma'adav erdomeh, but I think this is less likely, but I think it's something that at least you might consider, especially according to the Man Damar Min. This goes back again to the sugya of Yehari Gval Yavar as an example. Right. In Yehari Gval Yavar, right, you have Gimel Averos, right, but you also have two other categories of Yehari Gval Yavar. Again, the yeshiva might learn Pesachim next year, is that what they're saying? That's what they're telling me? We know that from the Sfarim sale, apparently. Yeah. It's been confirmed? What? Look, if we're going to learn anything in Pesachim, of course it would be Arve Pesachim. Right, especially like the Kiddush and Havdalah parts, and then maybe the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim parts. Like all the other stuff is way too hard; it's just too difficult. Or we're going to learn the Kachim parts, or of Chanina Skana Kohanim, or even Chametz Matzah. It's way too hard. Okay, anyways, so yeah, so stock up on the Kiddush and Havdalah. Arvid Pesachim part. They have a lot on there. I mean, we've been specialized. I mean, you kept us in mind, right? Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So, yeah. Anyways, so in addition to the Harig Vayabur, the Gimel, right? You have the categories of Parhesia and Shas Hashma. Shas Hashmat in particular is a fascinating question. Like, what is that? Farhesi at least is a makar in the Gemara, in Psachim, Chabav, and Sanhedrin Ayin Dalet, right? Lo Sechalu Hashem Kadshi, V'dikdak Dashli B'soch B'nei Yisrael. Shas Hashmat, such a tricky, you know, category. Afilo Arkas of the Besana, right? Maybe next year I'll have a chance, but no, I guess not. If it comes up for Kiddush, somehow in Kiddush and Abdullah, it comes up. And the Anos said you can no longer make Kiddush. So what is Shas Hashmad? What is that? So there's a major debate in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim think Shas Hashmad is a Kiddush Hashem or Chil Hashem B'tzin. And others see it in, you know, I guess, more pragmatic way. You know, you have to draw a line in the sand, otherwise, you know, in Shas Hashmat, time of religious crisis, you know, it's, everything is going, you know, to deteriorate. Very important issues. But there is certainly also evidence in the Rishonim and in some of the Achronim, that Tziv speaks about this in the Shiltos, that maybe the Shas Hashmad, right, even mitzvos kalos, become a kind of abizrayu davar zar. In other words, because the anos, you know, made it a matter of principle, he's testing your devotion, right, that doesn't make Kiddush and Havdalah a maisa veira of Avodah Zarah, of course, but at least on the level of Begida, meaning as a test of your loyalty to the Ribbono Shel Olam, in a way, right, it becomes that. So it becomes a kind of Avodah Zarah. And I wonder whether or not it isn't possible to say, you know, that if a person violates an Iser Lahachis, that person, in a way, isn't, you know, kind of making, you know, a mitzvah kala or a mitzvah, as the case may be, you know, into a test case of Avodah Zarah. Now, is that the same as Rishus HaGavra? Or does it kind of also, you know, upgrade or establish, you know, the Avera is a different kind of Avera? And certainly one may also suggest that, you know, when it comes to what we were talking about the other day, right, Avera mino Avera, the idea that, you know, even if you're only, quote-unquote, a mumla teyavon, right, what part of the problem, in addition to being a Gavra Russia or whatever, and reflecting a general, you know, lack of commitment, is that you also are kind of bifurcating or, you know, compartmentalizing and therefore subjecting the total system of halakha, right? You're attacking that as well. So to the extent that that is true in Mumar L'Teyavon, it's a hundredfold true, tenfold true, when it comes to Mumla Hachas. Yeah, we talked about the fact that in Geirus, in Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, right, there's this, you know, very always relevant, contemporarily and from the very beginning, question, you know, of what we mean by Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos. Right? And it's clear from the Gemara in Masechet Yevamos that you can't reject a particular mitzvah, even a mitzvah kala, even a mitzvah, you know, derabbana. Right? That would certainly passel. Again, what about groups and so on that we talked about, but certainly regular classical geiros at minimum, right? You can't reject. But what about a person who, you know, we know or he knows even, you know, is not likely, you know, to be able to implement, or maybe doesn't even have intention of implementing all mitzvahs. Right. What about that? But he's not rejecting. Is that a proper distinction? That's one of the issues that the poskim speak about. Part of what's important about that distinction, you know, is this question, both of these questions. In other words, if I, you know, I don't believe b'ikaron, or I refuse to accept, you know, b'ikaron taryag mitzvos, only taryag mitzvos, right? A, that is a kind of chutzpah or begida, you know, that is inconsistent with being nichnas tachas kanfei hashchina. But in addition to that, it also upsets or attacks, you know, taryag mitzvos as a system. Right? I'm basically saying I don't recognize all taryag. That means that every one of the taryag, as well as the entire marechet as a whole, right, is has been compromised. So what I'm saying is, likely what's unique about Mumar L'Hachis is the fact that he's more quantitatively, and maybe even qualitatively, probably even qualitatively, more of a Gava Russia, right, and more of a Mumar, never mind a Russia, than a Mumar L'Teyavon. That's likely, that's the 70%, you know, likely explanation of what's singular, you know, about Mumar L'Hachis. And at the same time, I'm suggesting that even the Avera that he violates, Lahachis, there may be a way to look at that, you know, even as a Mais Avera, even as an Avera, as being a kind of, you know, as transcending, in other words, the status or stature of the Avera itself. I'm giving you the example of Shas HaShmat. By the way, that might be one explanation, even in Farhesia, of Yehori Gval Yavar. I just want to get into that right now. You know, and maybe it isn't. It mostly it seems like Chil Hashem and Kiddush Hashem are mechayiv in its own right, but there's some evidence in the Rishonim that Chil Hashem and Kiddush Hashem kind of highlight kind of the potential in every mitzvah to be perceived as like representative of your perspective towards the whole of Chiyuv Mitzvos and Kiddushas Yisrael. So I'm suggesting that might be an element in Mumar L'Hachis, which doesn't exist at all in Mumar L'Teyavon, and that this question of how you look, you know, at his Kol HaTorah Kula, in light of his seemingly narrow piecemeal, you know, mum lahaches, that might be a difference. Okay, having said that, so there's several questions to consider factually and you know, on the spectrum, you know, together with that conceptually. Number one, is there a difference between mum lahaches ledavar echad and mum lahaches laosa davar? And here I would make the following point, and this I think is critical for some Rishonim, especially relative to the same question in mum lateyavon. On a teyavon level, and even more so, of course, on the havamin of the Gemara, you know, on a psul called Torah Kula level. That probably, nobody probably understood what I just meant. Anybody understood what I meant? Not a single person. What? We'll get to the re. I think the re may be an example of where we have to wait. What I mean is as follows. So in mum lateyavon, we had this question. And we just discussed it, right? In other words, when the Gemara said that mumar, you know, was ledavar echad is ena mumar lechol ha'tarah kula, there clearly were some rishonim who understood that that refers to mumar l'teyav. And certainly the way the Mepharshim project for the Rambam, right, it didn't just mean even, you know, mumar l'teyav ledavar echad, mumar l'teyav lechol ha'tarah kula, right? It meant even more than that. That was a havamina, but nobody holds that way in terms of being a psul, right? The Rambam does hold that way, right, in terms of mumar lateyavon ledavar echad being mumar lateyavon b'kol ha'torah kula, right? And the Rajba, the Rush, the Ran, they don't like it. Fine. What's fascinating is, what about the same question on the level of mumar lahachis, right? Will you say that a mumar lahachis, you know, again, both in the Havamina question, and maybe even Lahalacha. In other words, you have somebody who's a Mumar Lahachis in, we'll take the same case, Orlos, right? Some Rishonim think that the Gemara thought that if you're a Mumar La'Orel because it's very uncomfortable, right, then, you know, we need a Gemara to tell you that you're not a Mumar, you know, L'chol HaTorah Kula. Right? And maybe according to some Rishonim, except for the Rambam, not even a Mumla Teyavon in Kala Torah Kula. In other words, Mumla Teyavon in the Chaboa Lechidusha. Somewhat. But what about Mumla Hachis, let's say, La'orlus? What about him being a Mumar Lechola Torah Kula? Right? He's a Mumar La'orlus? Is he a Mumar Lechita? Or is it only mumar lahachis that we care about in Shechita, mumar lahachis b'nevela? So on the surface, these are parallel questions, right? And we should treat them the same. And I think that the Rajba, I'll just get to this in just a second, I think this explains some of the Lashonos of the Rajba. I think that's exactly what he does. I think he goes even further than that, frankly. I think he tries to prove from the fact that we don't say mumar ledavar echad hava mumar lechol ha'torah kula in teyavon, that mumar lahachis, either we don't say it, or even if we do say it, right, that it doesn't make him kamin or kagoy. But I think other Rishonim who disagree with the Rajba will probably tell you that they think that there's a fundamental qualitative difference between those two issues. That even if Mumar LaTeyavon is not a Mumar LaTeyavon, even L'Kol HaTorah Kula, that a Mumar LaHachis is. And the question is why? Why should there be that distinction? So again, if you look at Mumar LaTeyavon and Mumar LaHachis as being fundamentally the same, either because you think that even Mumar LaTeyavon is a Gavra Rasha in a very serious way, right? Or also because a mumilahachis. Again, we're very upset with him, and his stance, his posture, regarding this particular mitzvah and lahachis, is disturbing and unacceptable in every way. But in the end of the day, we don't see it as a global. We don't see it as a kind of raising, this particular aveira to the shas hashmad type of, avodah zara level. We don't see him as a gavra, who is rejecting taryag mitzvos in a way, by virtue of this perspective. And we don't see him as a gavra bogade. We think he has a really terrible attitude, not just discipline issues, with respect to a particular mitzvah. But we're open-minded, liberal, quote, these are all in quotes, to see this and to narrow it, or maybe we're just machmir in our optimism about Kedushas Yisrael, so we could say, people are crazy or they're strange, they can have totally wrong-headed, perspectives on certain things, but they could pretty still be, in the camp of Elokai Echelokai, and Amechami and other things, right? So if you take that perspective, then understandable. But if you say, either that, Mumla Tayavon, is mostly just a behavior problem, or, even if it is a Gavra Rasha, but ain't a Dome, a Gavra Rasha who, whose behavior reflects an improper level of commitment. In other words, he's a convenience Jew or whatever, but it's still a Shavaka Terah, Yachli Surah. As narrow as you think that is, there's still that element. Beit Doma that to a Gavra Bogade. But if you want to say, just to use terminology, which is used interchangeably, but for our purposes, if you want to say that a Mumar Le Teavon is a Mumar, and a Mumar Lahachas is a Meshumad, right? Especially if you want to say that a Mumar Le Teavon is a Mumar, and a Mumar Lahachas is a min, right? Then the idea that, one of the nafkaminas would be, whether you say Mumar L'davar Echad, have a Mumar L'chol Torah Kula, is going to be very reasonable. Because the whole idea is that it's a din in the Gavra, and it's a particular kind of din in the Gavra that does not lend itself, that is not conducive, fundamentally, to being compartmentalized or narrowed. So then we're going to say, so what I'm saying is, so the Bali Tosas and Rashi, getting back to that line in the Gemara, right, when they quote the Tosefta, Mumrul Va'arel, Mumrul Davar Echad, to teach you that Mumrul Davar Echad law of Mumrul Kala Torah Kula, right, they say, that refers to Lahakis. But the rest of the Brisa, right, the end of the Brisa is talking about Litayavon. Meaning, it's inconceivable that Mumla Teyavon would be Lekola Torah Kula. It's possible in Lahachis. Why? So you can say, because one is more Chamor, the other is more Kal. One is behavioristic, the other is Begav. Or, even if Teyavon is also Begavra, but it's not Gavra Bogade, it's Gavra, Rasha, Enu Masur Maspik, the Taryag Mitzvos or Shmira Sahalach or whatever it is. But those are two different things. That's in the Hava Mina, how you read the Gemara. So it's better to take, what's reasonable, logically, even if it's linguistically or narratively, from a literary standpoint, a little bit strange, that the same continuation, we'd be talking about the Hakas and the Tayabim without identifying them, but we... based on the context and the application, kind of know that this is what it must mean. That's one echo of it. The other echo of it is exactly in this whole Rajba, Ra'ah issue, etc. So the Rajba, basically, both in Torah Sabayis and in this Kiddushim, holds what about Mumar, Eli? Lahachis Lagabe Shkita? Acher Momnu Al Gabov and Bodek Sakin, but the Yevet works. As opposed to? the Re quoted in Tosis on Gimel Amidbeis. That's like Shitas Nachri. We'll still talk about more about that, right? And the Rush, right, who also holds that way. But we'll see, we'll have to discuss in a minute what that is based on. But the Rajba is rejecting that. And what about the Ra'ah? What does the Ra'ah think about it? In Bedek Abayis? You see? You can get there? Aaron? About this question? Ra'ah has something to say or not?
Is
a man or a yeah, exactly. What, but it's relevant to this. And what's the Ra'ah's big chiddush? Well, what we're calling Mumer Lahachis in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is misleading. It's really a neutral in between. Meaning he, you know, when presented with Heter and Iser, you know, he won't always choose Iser. He's not a real Lahachis. He's not Lahachis grade one. Right? But he's also not a Mumer LaTeyavon of Loshavek Hetera V'Achal Isura. It's like more a benign or a, you know, kind of a, you know, a neutral, you know, Lahachis. So the Chiddush of the Ra is that when the Gemara has a debate whether he's a Min or a whether he's a Min or a Mumar, the Pashtus, Aaron, that Gemara is about Mumar Lahachis. It says Mumar Lahachis. And it contrasts it with Mumar L'Teyavo. Right? And the Ra'ah is Mechadesh, but it doesn't mean what it says. Not in Horios and not in Avodah Zarah. What it really means is the in-between category. Where did you get that from? Not linguistically, obviously. Because he's super convinced that what? That if it was a real Mumar Lahachis, what would be the halakha? He'd be a Min. So the Ra'ah basically will tell you that when it comes to this particular issue, we should be mechalek between Mumar Lahachis, the benign Mumar Lahachis, and the acute, you know, Mumar Lahachis. Okay, but that's purely out of conviction. Correct? By the way, yeah, just to throw in the mix, just to make get some shitas out there, the Kesef Mishnah, right, and he has this again in the big quotes in the Beit Yosef too, right, ends up saying kind of the opposite. In what way, Natan?
He says that no matter what, we always assume that he gets something else, so we always assume that
it's correct. Yeah, that's more on a pragmatic level, but we'll get to
it.
But also he thinks in terms of, and this may be a little bit what David is referring to also, and it's going to get, probably not going to get to it today, we'll finish it on Sunday, and that's also a little bit about what's going on in the particular application of Shechita. But what he thinks is that the in-between case, right, is also going to be viewed as a min, as a God. Right?
The in-between case is with the
album. The
what? I guess I should say the in-between case is always with the
album. Right, so he has that formulation too, but I guess in the bit, I'll look at it again in the Kesef Mishnah.
Yeah, at least his understanding of the Rambam.
His understanding of the Rambam is that one, correct. But he himself, when he's talking about the Rambam, he's talking about, correct. But he himself, when he wants to discuss the position of Tosis and the Rush, again, Tosis and the Rush say that what? That a Mumar Lahachis is the equivalent of Avodah Barazar, right? Or equivalent of a God. So the view of the Beis Yosef and the Kesef Mishnah is that Hu Hadin, the benign, the more benign, I don't want to say benign, it really is not a good way to say it, the more moderate Lahachis, which is the opposite of what the Ra'ah says. But although they may be arguing about what it means to be a Bar Zvicha. Right? Actually, what the Beit Yosef says is it sounds from the language, especially of the Rush, that in order to qualify to be a Shochet, you know, in a fundamental way, that, you know, you have to care about the Iser Nevela and the Mitzvah of Shechita. And therefore, somebody who doesn't care, even if he's not a Mechutzah, in other words, a light Lahachis, as opposed to an intense Lahachis, right? A soft Lahachis, as opposed to a hard Lahachis, and then David will be happy with that, right? Is also somebody who's a mit. And the Ra'ah is saying, no, the whole debate, about what Mumin Lahachis is only on the light side, right? But on the heavier side, he's certainly puzzle like a guy, l'chol advar. So there actually is a debate between the Beis Yosef and the Ra'ah about the middle category, but that could be a debate about Tosis and whatever, just to get it on the record. Okay. The Rajba disagrees with the Ra, Aaron, correct? And says, number one, what are you talking about? The Gemara says, Lahachis, how do you know that there even is a middle category, never mind to be Machale? And he says it, basically, even if it's Lahachis Gamor, right, that Bidyeved with Omid Al-Gabav and Bodek Sakin, everything is fine. Why? So again, if you look at what he says in the Chidushim, if you look at what he says in Parsha Bayis, there's a lot of overlap and they supplement each other, but there's slightly different, emphasis. You have it?
Yeah.
Which one do you want to do first?
Everyone
ready. So accommodating. So nice. Okay, let's do Torah Sabayis for a second. Was it Ches? We'll have to finish this, I think, on Sunday. If you could also just look very quickly, if you get a chance, just in the Shulchan Aruch Siman Beis about Momer L'Tiavon and L'Milahachas, since we're here already. And Momer, of course, L'Avodah Zarah and Shabbos is Kuf Yud Tes. Look that up as well. And I'll also give you some extra things to see about again, Mumar L'Chol Torah Kula. Again, we touched on it, but I just wanted to very quickly. I'll give that on Sunday to look at the Tshuva of Rashi and the Be'iri and the Sefer Eshkol. So we'll add that as well. But we'll try to finish up Lahachis for sure and start speaking about Avodah Zarah. Look at the Radbaz and Maisa Karbados and the ones who have to speak with the Mishnah Melech. Okay. What do you have in Torah Sabayis? What page is it? Chesed Beis? In the old ones, I don't know what it is in the new ones. So he says basically what? He quotes, what's that? Wherever you think you should start. V'od kasha li mikom makom luk mibochol v'el slahachis? Is that the right way, place to start? I think so, right?
V'od kasha li mikom makom luk mibochol v'el slahachis v'riya v'vadeh v'kuti v'shalom en
algama. So what's he assuming? That it works.
Yeah.
Okay. Not like Tosis, not like the Rush, and as we'll see, not like the Ra'ah if we're talking about a real Lahakis, right? Nearly. Yours says Mishomed?
Yeah.
Oh, and you have the same pagination?
It's the newer version. It tells you, it says that it's specimen.
Oh, interesting. Okay, great. Nearly the I have my. Okay, good. What are the other differences? The hod is shumed. Okay, go ahead. Ochol the veilus lahachis. So that. Wow. So what? Why am I saying wow? Is it wow?
Yeah.
Well, so what's the wow?
That you could have
No, that he holds at Mumalahachis. B'dieved, Shechitas Hakshera. I don't find that to be. I mean, there's a machlokas in the Gemara. Is he a min or is he a mumar? Right? So that's fine, per se. We'll see in a minute that in the Chidushim, he considers even the Man Damar who says min, would hold this way. That's a wow. Right? Because the pashas, it just depends on the... Right? When Josh asked me the question a couple of days ago about Tosas, I said, well, there's still plenty of room because it's the Machlokas and the Gemara and Horios and the Avodah Zarah. Correct? Now, we still have to figure out whether that Machlokas is Koveya, this issue, or we can be Mechalik in either direction. Okay, fine. So that per se isn't, you know. When he says in the Chidushim, here, let me just get that line in the record, even though I'm sorry I'm interrupting your flow, but when he says in the Chidushim that on Dalet Amud Beis, that Yeah, I got it. Yeah. You have it? Yeah, Vim Tomar Akati. Go ahead. Akati Luk Mibokhal Devel Slahachis, who be Strolom and Al Gabov.
The Hashavada, Iker Gusit, the Tvei other Gusi,
Mine,
Eto Shvito, who me who be Omid Al Gabov, Shachet the Chuli Alma, the Achim the Rabacha, the Omid of the Zor of Perag, in my need, the Hachis Menu, Betoni the Kanon, Shitas Min La Vodazara, Women Yisrael Mari, Hassam be Min La Vodazara.
I don't think it's true even for Rashi, really. Well, what's he saying here? Again, I have the Motzarev of Cook one. It's shocking to me that they didn't gloss this or comment on it. Meaning, what is he saying here?
That Rav Acha thinks that when we say...
Rav Acha's the Man D'Amar says that Mumer L'Hachis is a min, right? So you would think that according to him, certainly, Omid al-Gabov and these things don't work. Right? Again, as we said before, methodologically, if when somebody tells you, you know, that the Man D'Amar, who apparently, and I'm not, you know, underline apparently, who apparently holds a certain way, who holds, you know, the opposite way, even he doesn't really hold that way, right? It reflects a lot of conviction. Okay, it doesn't mean it's wrong. I'm not Khalila saying that. I'm just saying that's a wow moment. Okay, this is one of them. Here he's saying, even the Mandamar and Horios and Avodah Zarah will think that Omid al-Gabov will work. Right? Then he says, Va'od the Hilkas HaKaravina the Mekil, Damar l'hachas Meshuman. Okay, that part I get. But that idea, and the idea that min there means komer l'avodah zarah, meaning not there. Meaning, when in the other gemaras that say that min is shchitaso nevela, that means komer l'avodah zarah. It doesn't mean the min of the gemara in avodah zarah and horios of mumer l'hachis. Wow. I'm not saying, again, maybe the objective evidence, the global evidence proves that. But this is a man with strong convictions. Okay, that's number one. Now we get back to this Torah Sabayis, sorry, back to Aaron. So what's the wow moment here? Not the conclusion, but the Raya. Yeah. What's the Raya? Correct. Mumer l'davar echad lo'av and mumer l'chol ha'Torah kula. That's about mumer l'teyavon. V'kaima l'nami dafila mumer l'oso davar lo'av and mumer l'esor shchitasa. What does that mean? And by the way, I don't paskin, and I don't even understand. Finish the sentence. Two words, or three. Another person, a predecessor. This is the Rajba talking. I'm just putting these words in his mouth. And by the way, I don't paskin, and I don't even comprehend. That's the hint. The view of the Rambam. Namely that a mumer l'teyavon ba'arel is a mumer l'teyavon who requires bedika sakin in shchita. I don't even get it. I don't even know what he's talking about. Right? What does it have to do with us? What does anything have? We're talking about whether a mumer l'hachis, you know, is in davar echad, or even an Oso Davar. But the Rajma, yeah, is so far not making that distinction. Right now he's talking, even Mumer L'Nevela, will not be kemin. He'll just be chashud, and bedika sakin will help you, because he's equating mumer lahakas totally with mumer l'tayavon. It's shocking. Now, when we also consider that his view of mumer l'tayavon is a light, L-I-T-E, right? His mumer l'tayavon relative to the Rambam and the Ra'ah is that it's a yetzer hara problem. Right, so bringing rayas from mumer lahakas is even more shocking, right? Ella, bodek sakim v'nosan lo afilu mumer la'osa davar lahakas. What do you mean afilu lahakas? I mean, you can bring a raya, even just forget about everything else. You can bring a raya min akal, because the standards are low in mumer la'tayavon, therefore they have to be low in mumer lahakas. Never mind that his own view of mumer la'tayavon, right, is already makes it even lower. Meaning he too is saying mumar, separate from mumar l'avodah zarah, in a way it's ironic, you know. There's a continuum, just like the Rambam thinks is a continuum between mumar l'hachdis and mumar l'teyavon. He didn't even bother mentioning that he's only talking about teyavon. I think that too. But the Rambam thinks it, you know, on the rishus level, and I think it on the compartmentalizing or narrowing level. Right, therefore, lav nachri kashvinon lei, would be a solar melogam mi b'shach shkita sekshera. Wow. Then comes the efshar, which at least walks it back a little bit. What's that?
The efshar da'afilu b'diyavu ba'afir mron also shkita sopsula halakuli alma mishumad lafal pelev in mikam menu korban ala pelev.
Now that again, what is that about? That's lahachis or l'teyavo. That's a teyavo. So it's even when he's walking it back, you know, he's not completely rejecting the equation, right? So, and again, it's fascinating because he still doesn't understand the Rambam and doesn't hold like the Rambam. It's like, oh, legabe karbanos as opposed to shchita. I mean, he's vulnerable on this point a little bit, but we can see it. I mean, you know. He's saying the gabe karbanos mumer l'davar echad mumer l'osa davar can be mufka, you know, not just a behavioral problem, even though it isn't necessarily true for shechita l'shitaso. So, I'm willing to think that mumer l'hachis can have that, even if mumer l'tayavon doesn't in the vein. This is what he's saying, I think, unless I'm missing some major point of the argument here. Now, I understand it. I just think it bespeaks of a certain orientation. Right, Kidatanya, let's have Gustav in it. It's also interesting that he quotes Shav Midiyaso and not the Xeris HaKasov. Right? Frankly, that makes it even more difficult, because if Shav Midiyaso just means it's a din in Karban Shgaga, it isn't really a shogeg if he would have done it anyway. And what does that have to do with, that's a special din in Karbanos? It sounds like he holds that Shav Midiyaso is also a din in the Shir and the Gabra, right? Just maybe not as acute as a Gabra Mikem, right? A Gabra who wouldn't make the distinction, right, is Mufka from the Karba. Right, there's so many Chidushim here, I think. Okay. Demum l'davar echad, l'hachis, right? Areyu l'oso da. Now, even this is great. Go ahead.
Areyu l'oso.
Wow, I wouldn't have said it that way. I mean, I would have said that a mumar la'osa davar, you know, we take it seriously. That's what he's really saying. But how is he saying it? Mumar la davar echad lahachis hareu la'osa davar kemumar l'chol ha'torah kula. Right? Meaning, maybe here, legabe this, right? He really is ka'oved avodah zarah, but not broadly. Amazing. Okay? And can you understand why he can't even begin to hear the ra'ah? Of course. Again, he could have said, I hold that mumer l'tayavon is practically nothing, you know, and even if I don't think that Mavulahachis is a min, right, but it's still a Gava Russia. But he's not really saying that. He's saying everything is Mida and Mumer L'Tayavon, right? Even when he ends up being Machmir, it's Mida, Mumer L'Tayavon, with an acknowledged, not acknowledged, with an implicit, you know, distinctions. Oh. So it's fascinating. In the Chidushei HaRashba, with this, I guess we'll come back. I'm sorry, we're going over time. He also, later on, when he talks about this, he also has a very shocking, I think totally Lushitasa, which is what he's struggling with. Miu is on page 20 in the Otsar of Kukwan. Im shachat v'acheim roin oso mitkila v'atzofa nimsa sakina yafa muta lecho mishchitaso to mishumad l'dover echad lo have a mishumad l'cholotora kula. Like, why say it that way? We're not talking about a mishumad l'dover echad. We're talking about what? A mishumad l'os l'dover. Why is he bringing a raya that Meshumad L'Oso Davar is not a guy from the fact that Meshumad L'Davar Echad L'Hachis is not a Meshumad L'Kol HaTorah Kula. The Eina Kishritas Nachri, and then he adds, to Yisrael Hu El Shemorei B'Mitzvah Zu, as opposed to saying, at least if he's L'Hachis on this mitzvah, so he's like a, again, in other words, each one is kind of helping the other. So what's he really saying here? What he's saying is, if you want to treat him as a guy, Ka'oved Avodah Zarah, then what you need to say is that Mumer L'Hachis, you know, has a broader shame, Russia, Begavra. And that while that expressed itself in a particular mitzvah, right, that reflects, right, it indicates that he's a Gavra Bogade that transcends that mitzvah. So whether Mumer L'Chol HaTorah Kula, whether Mumer L'Davar Echad is Mumer L'Chol HaTorah Kula or not, will even affect how we apply, this is what he's saying here, as opposed to the Yesh, the Efshar Lomar in the Torah Sadayas, will even affect how we look at it narrowly in Mumer L'Os HaDavar. You can't say Zeno Avodah Zarah L'Os HaDavar, and therefore it's Nevela, and Aumid Al-Gabav, Bodek Sakin won't help you. Because then it should be irrelevant what he did. It's a din of the Gavra. That's a Rashba. Now, there's a very high threshold for Gavra Rasha, but call it Torah Kula. Okay, we'll stop here. I want to talk about the Ra'ah in contrast, and then the in-between case, and also Ochel Parush, you know, the other cases. So we'll finish up with Mumer L'Hachis, and then talk about the Rush, and make sure I do. Tosis and the Rush, and... Yeah? David? Tosis and the Rush, and the Re, and so on. So let's finish up Mumer L'Hachis Sunday, and also talk about Mumer Avodah Zarah and Farhesia of Shabbos on Sunday. Mm-hmm.